Good morning, welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be focusing on the 25th chapter, Perek Chof Hei of Sefer Yeshayahu. This is a short perek, only of 12 psukim, but is jam-packed with ideas and psukim we've heard about and appreciate. So let's start at the very beginning. The first section of this perek is divided into three sections in paragraphs, natural paragraphs of Tanakh. And the first section runs from Pasuk Aleph all the way to through Pasuk Hei, the first five psukim. And in this pasuk, Yeshayahu says that upon seeing this nevuah, upon seeing what he's about to describe, he says, "I have to thank Hashem. What you did, Hashem, what I'm about to describe is so miraculous, so wondrous, I have to thank you." What is it that he's about to say? Where is he? Well, he describes how he sees Hashem turning great cities into piles of rubble, armed and fortified cities into destroyed areas never to be re-established. When this will happen, says Yeshayahu, at that point in time, Yechabdu Am Oz. All strong nations will revere you, Hashem, for decimating these cities in the future, it sounds like. Why? Because, not because you destroyed the cities, says Yishael, because Hayisa me'oz ledal, me'oz le'evyon, you are a protection, you are the stronghold for those who are impoverished, those who are needy, from the powerful currents of those who wanted to take over them, from the powerful rays of energy which could have consumed them. You were this cloud, you were this barrier which protected them. Sort of the metaphor for these destructive forces is a flow of water or a flow of energy or light, and Hashem is this interceding barrier to protect those who are impoverished. That's what people will see, and see your power. So just in this short section, first of all, what is the context of this praise? Meaning, like, where is this coming off of? Where are we jumping off of to appreciate this? So the Radak says it follows directly from the last perek, because if you remember, at the beginning of at the very end of the last perek, it talks about Kibbutz Golios. It talks about how the nations of Israel are going to come back to Israel. And that being the case, when they return to Israel, there's going to be something which Yeshayahu was saying is so miraculous and so wondrous that Jews can come from every corner of the earth and through a 2,000 long year galus be pulled together. That itself is something which is miraculous. I think we ourselves have been privileged to witness part of that process unfolding over the past century, over the past 70 years in specifics. And this is part of what we're talking about, but Yeshayahu advances it to the next stage of retribution and justice as well. What are the cities that we're talking about being destroyed? What is Yeshayahu seeing about these great and strong cities? So some of the Farshim leave it general. They say, well, it's referring to whoever the powerful cities are at the time, whereas the Radak says that it's general. But the Mitzvot David says, no, it refers to the cities of Babylon. Specific Nevuah about Babylon at the time used to be, of course, the nation which is going to exile Israel. And when they fall, that's when this will be seen. But nonetheless, the Mepharshim sort of try to broaden this to more scope in history. The fascinating thing about this section is that somehow Hashem's power is being displayed to the world in that he saves those who are impoverished. How exactly does that work? Who are these impoverished people? So the Radak says, well, of course, it's referring to Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael who were bounced from Golus to Golus, from exile to exile, expelled from country to country, no less than 6 times from France, for 350 years from England. Every country, the persecution, the relentless, the unjustifiable and lack of transparency and accountability that the nations had, well, when Hashem protects us from that, and Hashem allows us to come through that, that is going to be the display of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's power. It's interesting that in our attempt to be godly, our success, therefore, meaning to say, let's say we're trying to approximate what Hashem does in this world, our greatest success won't necessarily be a consolidation of power, but rather the ability to protect those who don't have it. Meaning, Hashem's greatest stamp of power in this world is protecting those who don't have power, and that's what exemplifies the society of Hashem, is a society which looks after those who need protection. Just something worthwhile thinking about when in terms of what our mission is. The next mini section runs from Pasuk Vav to Pasuk Ches, only 3 Pesukim long. In this section, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that he will make this great feast for the nations on the mountain of Zion, Bahar Hazeh, on this mountain. And it'll look like a feast of oil, but it'll actually turn out to be a feast of dregs. Mishteh Shemonim, Mishter Shemarim. Again, very poetic. A feast of oil? No, it'll be a feast of dregs. The mountain itself will swallow up the protective cover of all these nations, and death will be swallowed up, and tears will be removed from all faces, and Israel will have a disgrace removed. An apostle which we are familiar with, it is said at many funerals, Bila Hamoves Lonetzach, Hashem will swallow up death eternally. Umocha Hashem Elohim Dimomi Al Koponim, and he'll wipe away the tears from every face. Vecherpas Amo Yasir Me'al Kol Aretz, and Hashem will remove the disgrace of his nation from earth. Very interesting pasuk. What is going on here? What's holding this section together? So first of all, this feast of oil and dregs. The Mitzvah says this refers to the war of Gog and Magog, the apocalyptic war at the end of times, which will be centered around Jerusalem. At this time, all the nations will come to Jerusalem thinking it's going to be an easy war. It's going to be a feast of oil. Very easy, smooth, but it'll turn out to be a feast of dregs. Very hard to get anything out of it. It won't be as successful as they thought. What is this? What is this? This cover that Hashem is removing of the nations. So the Malbim suggests over here that it's not their sort of, you know, their protection or their sphere of defense. Rather, it refers to the sort of their misconceptions. He actually points out, the Malbim points out, as he does characteristically, is that there's two subjects of the sentence. They are the Amim and the Goyim. The Amim means the nations who have found some sort of monotheistic religion, but have not found the right truth. There, the nation is maybe a subset of Judaism or a daughter religion of Judaism, like Christianity or Islam, which is somewhat of a truth, which is a sort of abrogated truth which came out of Judaism. Those people, they need the lot, which is a sort of a thin veil to be removed. And then there's the Goyim. The Goyim are the nations who have not yet arrived at monotheistic belief, and they're still living in, we'll call it, the way the Bible understands it, a more, you know, prehistoric moral society in a certain sense. Polytheism still reigns supreme, so they need to have their machseh, the nechusa, that removed. They have to remove it. It's much more of a removal of a much more bigger intermediary from seeing God. Okay, it is interesting to me that usually it's funny when we quote this last pasuk of this section that Hashem is going to swallow death eternally and remove the tear from all faces. The way we use it at funerals is that Hashem is going to eventually destroy death. Right, Hashem is going to end death at the end of times. But what's funny about that is that the end of the pasuk seems to indicate that there's something more national about this, something grander about this, because cherpas amo yasir me'al kol aretz, that the disgrace of his nation will be removed from the earth. How does that relate to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is removing death? How is the removal of death related to Israel's disgrace being finally brought to account, to an accounting? So the Radak points out that the removal of death means the removal of persecution of Jews throughout all the ages. Meaning, we've suffered so long in so many places under the hands of so many cruel people. Well, you know what? There's going to come a time where that persecution, that death will be removed. And then the Cherpas Amo Yasir, that persecution which we've suffered relentlessly, and the blood we've bathed in centuries of our ancestors who have been persecuted and prosecuted unfairly, well, that's going to end. That's the Bila Hamavis Lanetzach, that death. Not death per se. Anyway, so the next and last section describes a very unusual description of Hashem. On that day, Hashem will say that this is a very beautiful description. We say it and we sing it. This is our God. We hoped for him that he would be our savior. This is Hashem who we hoped for, and we will rejoice in his some salvations. At this point in time, Hashem will lift up his hand over the mountain and he'll crush underneath it the nations. And it refers specifically to Moab, who will be squashed as if in a mortar under Har Tzion, and their arrogance will be squashed out. Now, what is Moab doing in this whole business? Moab long since ceased to be a power of significance. So the Radak points out that it's not necessarily Moab, but it's any nation that lives in that particular region. The region of Moab is to the southeast of Israel, that particular region. Why that area? Because just like when the Aseres HaShvatim, the 10 tribes, were exiled, Moab was a facilitator to allow the Assyrians to help in their siege against the Israelites. And in the same way, that nation in the future, says the Moab, will also try to facilitate the destruction of Israel in the war of Gog and Magog. and they will ultimately be destroyed. It is interesting to me, just historically speaking, that in 1967 there was a pact which was signed between Syria, Egypt, and Jordan against Israel. And it is interesting that Jordan actually was the unwilling partner in this pact. They, in fact, had to adopt an Egyptian general who took command of the Jordanian forces. And even though when Egypt in the 1967 Six-Day War attacked Israel, or responded to Israel's preemptive attack and claimed that they were victorious, they forced Jordan into the war, which ultimately became the ability to reconquer Jerusalem 51 years ago. Which is remarkable, which means to say Jordan is exactly in the area of where Moab was. And in a certain sense, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I'm going to squash you on Har Tzion. This has such resonance today. This is the moment because HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in the mind of the Egyptians to falsify what was going on in the Sinai and made Hussein, King Hussein, make the unfortunate and silly decision to attack Israel. That's why we regained Jerusalem. And this seems to be really resonating with this moment over here. The last thing to think about is that the pasuk that we say Zehashem Kivinolona given us Rabbi Shua. So is a pasuk which the Gemara tells us is going to be said at the end of time, where all the tzaddikim will sit in a circle and point to Hashem and say, "This is the Hashem we saw. We are witnessing. We are wishing. We are willing to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in history. And this is Hashem who rejoiced." And just as a circle, all radii of a circle are equal. All the different perspectives of where we saw God in history and in ourselves will be verified at that point in time. And that's a shame we should see that time. But in the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.